Proverbs 18 is where we'll begin. So we're looking at the book of Proverbs on friendship, on how we choose friends, and also how we be a good friend as well. And so it sounds kind of like a weird subject to talk about, but there's a lot in the book of Proverbs on being a friend and what it's about. Because we know friends are a good thing to have. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." So a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So to have friends, you have to be friendly yourself. So if you have no friends, and I don't think there's anybody here like that, but if you had no friends, and you, most of the time, like I've lived in a few different towns, and a lot of the towns people will say, well, that's really a not very friendly town. They're kind of cliquish, and they're not very friendly. But a lot of the times, it's people, they don't go out of their house, right? They don't try to make friends. And so instead of looking around and saying, man, they're not very friendly. That church isn't very friendly. That town's not very friendly. If a man wants to have friends, a woman wants to have friends, he must show himself friendly. And so we need to look at ourselves. If we don't have many friends, maybe we're not being friendly. And that's probably the case. And so we need to look at ourselves. Especially as followers of Christ, we should show ourselves friendly. We should be the friendliest people around as Christians. Why would that be? As Christians, we're told to put others in front of ourselves, right? The world says put yourself first, and if you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for you. But as Christians, I mean, that's what we are supposed to do, is put others first. That makes a good friend. If you're, you know, putting others first, we should also care about other people. We know they're created in Christ, in God's image. We know that they're, you know, worthwhile. We know that every soul is going to end up in heaven or hell, and it's very important what goes on here on earth. And so we as Christians have more reason than ever to be friendly. We have more reason than ever to meet new people. You know, not just stay in the same group all the time, to be friendly. So we should be looking to entertain friends, and the Bible says entertaining strangers. Many people have entertained angels when they entertain strangers. So that's showing yourself friendly. So if a man's going to have friends, he should show himself friendly, and as Christians, we should be the friendliest of the bunch. Sometimes that's probably not the case. But as Christians, we should be. And the Bible here, just in verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Think about King David. His brothers, were they really good friends to him? And when he came to the battle, they're like, what are you doing here, little brat? Get out of here. So they weren't too worried about him, but what about Jonathan? And Jonathan was a friend that stuck closer than his brother. Jonathan was with him, you know, even when his dad wanted to kill David, Jonathan stuck with David. Even when he knew David was going to take the throne that should have probably been Jonathan's by, you know, lineage, Jonathan still stuck with him. There was a friend that stuck closer than a brother. Matthew 12 kind of also puts things, because we think family, you know, is the most important. But I'm saying that a friend and a Christian brother and sister is even more than a brother or sister just in your family. So look at Matthew 12, verse 46. Matthew 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, talking about Jesus, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. His mom and his brothers stand without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said to him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my mother and my sister, my brother and my sister and mother. And so Jesus, Christians, and the people that were with him as his disciples, they were the same as his brother and sister and mother. So I would say that our Christian brothers and sisters and our friends, godly friends that we have, are as important, maybe more important, than our brothers and sisters in our family. It's very important to have good friends. And it's very important to be a good friend. And so that's what we're going to look at, because we want to show ourselves friendly. And so we'll talk about that tonight. If we can start with some prayer here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. I thank you for everybody could come. And Lord, help us as Christians, as followers of you, to show ourselves friendly, to be friendly to others, to have the traits of a good friend, and to be able to help each other through the friend that we are. Lord, help us to find good friends so we can help each other and sharpen each other. Help us to be a good friend. Help us to see what your word has to say about it. Help me as I teach, and help us as we learn, and help us to apply these things that you have laid out so clearly in your word. We pray this and ask your blessing on this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we want to look at some things about friends. We know that a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, so it's important. But let's look at some things that first about finding friends. The first thing, the Bible tells us not to have evildoers as friends, wicked people as friends. Okay? It sounds like common sense not to have, you know, wicked people or evildoers as friends, but we can rationalize that in our head a lot of times, and people do. They want to spend time, well, they're witnessing to these people, or they're trying to, you know, be a good example for this person. But the Bible's pretty clear, don't have these people as friends. And it doesn't mean to not be friendly, but there's a difference between being friendly and spending a lot of time with and being, you know, really close with a friend. Because as we'll see, if you're doing what you're supposed to as a friend, an ungodly friend isn't going to be a friend for very long. He's only a friend if you're kind of going along doing what he's doing. Because we as Christians are the ones that would have to compromise in that relationship. And so, if we are compromising to be a friend, we're not supposed to do it. We're not supposed to be friends with evildoers. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we're saying, don't be friends with the wicked, don't be friends with evildoers. Not don't be friendly, but don't be friends. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and the unwhole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, which we shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. So that's the peer pressure thing. Come on, come with us. We're going to have fun. We're going to do this and that. We're going to get rich and just come with us. But they're sinners and they're trying to entice you to come. The advice is, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't walk with them. Physically leave. Spend your time with godly friends. Do not walk in the way of sinners. And that's just like Psalm 1, verse 1. Walk not in the way of sinners. So, seems like common sense, but a lot of times, there's going to be enticing things to want to come along. We are not to walk with the evil. Let's go to chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Again, looking at this, do not have evildoers as friends. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So we need to avoid the wicked as friends in the way of the wicked. We need to pass by it, avoid it, turn from it, not and pass away from it. So a lot of times you can think of examples, and you see it all the time, of a kid that's supposedly, you know, a good kid, but he goes with the wrong crowd, gets in a bad situation, and things terrible end up happening. You can think of a good kid gets involved in a gang something, or is hanging out, all of a sudden there's a drive-by shooting. But the problem was, the first thing he did was walked in the way of sinners. He was being a friend and looking for companionship with them in that. And so it happens all the time, and it might not be to that extreme, but hanging out with the wrong crowd causes a lot of people to stumble, causes a lot of bad things to happen. And this is just the advice from God, do not have the evildoers as friends. Be friendly, yes, but they're not your close friends that you do things with. Okay, what about at work for us? You know? What type of friends do you hang around at work? Because it's easy to hang around with friends maybe that gossip, you know, that say things about the boss, that do things that we would not want to, you know, to say in church that we do. We wouldn't want Christ to come back and see us, and He does see us do these things. But what kind of friends do we hang around there at work? People that blaspheme? People that curse? And there's obviously times at work you can't control who you're around. You have to work with who you are. But there's times you can. And there's times that people are, I mean, you're just around his friends. We need to think about those things. So we don't want to hang around, walk in the way of sinners. Let's go to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. And so this makes a difference for the young, for the old. I don't think there's ever a time. Sin, I mean, we have maybe more sins that are more acceptable, like gossip or, you know, talking on the phone about so-and-so. Or did you hear what so-and-so did? Just, it's still sin. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6 says, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." So don't hang around in terms of mutual friendship. Don't hang around a fool. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers, the Bible says. Forsake the foolish and live. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. So the first principle we're saying is do not be friends with evildoers. Proverbs 13, verse 20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." If you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. If you walk with fools, you're going to be destroyed. So when you spend time with people, wise people, they rub off on you, and that's good. Okay, wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. So these wise people are people that know God's wisdom. They fear the Lord. That's who we need to look to spend time with. That's who we need to look for friends. It's people that are wise, that fear the Lord. But unfortunately, it says if you spend time with fools, a companion of fools will be destroyed. So that as well will rub off on us. Right? Because look at the verse right before that. Verse 19, chapter 13, verse 19 says, "The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil." Fools want to do evil. Fools are going to just go right to evil. And so a companion of fools is going to be destroyed. He's going to be there with them. And so, again, it basically says that people rub off on you. The people you hang around have an effect on you. It says hang around with wise people, people that are going to strengthen you and build you up, as we'll see, not with fools, not with people that are bent on doing evil, that it's an abomination, you know, to depart from sin. So we don't want to hang around, be friends with those people. Let's go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 tells us, again, how to look for friends. We don't want to hang around fools. Don't hang around sinners that are trying to entice you. Proverbs 22, verse 25. So it should be 24 and 25, I believe. Okay. Proverbs 22, verse 24 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." And that's pretty straightforward. Don't be friends with a person that's quick to be angry. The Bible says in James 1:20 that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If there's a man that's quick to be angry, he's a, what's it say, a furious man. You know, anger problems. We shouldn't be friends with them. We shouldn't hang around those things. Why do we stay away? Let's look at Proverbs 16:32. For one more thing, then we'll come back. Talking about anger, there is a time, we've seen this, that it's all right to be angry. It is all right to be angry at sin. It's all right to be angry at things that make our God angry. But when we're angry, it says in Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city." So to be able to rule your spirit, to control your anger, and be slow to anger, that's the kind of people we want to be around. But going back to Proverbs 22, verse 24, if you make friends with an angry man, if you make friends with a furious man, it says in verse 25, lest you learn his ways, and it's a snare to your soul. So again, that principle that things rub off on us. The people we put ourselves around rub off on us. Let's go to Proverbs 29, verse 24. And it doesn't say until you're 30 years old or until you're 20 years old. This goes for everybody at all times. The people we hang around rub off on us. Proverbs 29, verse 24. It says, "Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not." So we got a man that's a sinner, this thief. And here you're a partner with him. You're hanging out with him. He's a thief. And it could be anything. It could be, you know, a blasphemer. It could be a liar. It could be an adulterer. It could be whatever. But you're friends with him. It says about the person that's friends with this person, he heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. He hears cursing. This man's cursing. He's cursing God. He's cursing using words, whatever. But obviously, the friend here, that's the friend with the thief, He's not berating. He's not, you know, making that known. He's not saying, hey, listen, you're blaspheming God. Listen, you're cursing. I don't, you know, we shouldn't do that. You're stealing. We shouldn't do that. Because if you start saying that around somebody that's a thief, you're not going to be his friend very long. If you go to steal, he says, you should not do that. That's against what God says. Then they kick you out, right? Obviously, if you're a friend with somebody that's a thief, a cursing person, that means you're not saying anything about it. You're going along with it. You're the third wheel there. You're just going along with what he's doing. And so, to be friends with an evildoer, we said it before, the Christian is the one that has to do the compromising. Right? If you're friends with somebody here that's a thief, that's cursing, that's gossiping, that's blaspheming, that's doing any of these things, you're the one that has to compromise what the Bible says to do. So the overwhelming advice from Proverbs is do not have evildoers as friends. So that's why it's important not only for us, but who our children's friends are, right? You know, we want to have your children to have good friends. We'd like to think that our friends could rub off on others. You know, we've raised them so well that they can be friends with Johnny over here who cusses and he's rebellious and he does all this stuff, but my friend can rub off on him. But the evidence from the Bible is not so. The evidence from the Bible is that we can't even do that if we're going to be friends with evildoers, that it's a snare to our own soul. We hateth our own soul if we do these things, is what it says right here. He heareth cursing, he beareth... Actually, another verse says it hates his own soul. So, we don't want to think, because it's against what the Bible says, that our kids or ourselves can go and be friends with people involved in evil and we're going to rub off on them. And the reason I say this is because it's biblical. And also, the battle that we're in against our own flesh is tough enough. I mean, we have to battle as Christians every day, do we not? We have to battle not to gossip, not to be bitter against God, not to, you know, complain, not to be selfish, not to do all these things. We have to battle enough against our own flesh, against the devil. We have to battle to do a Christian life. Even with Christian friends, it's a battle. People that are building you up. Imagine then being friends with an evildoer. It's hard enough with good friends when you put yourself and yoke yourself with evil friends. It doesn't leave much hope for a good outcome. Not for us and not for our kids. So it is important who our friends are. The Bible says it's hating your soul to be friends with the wicked. So we should choose our friends wisely and choose our kids as friends wisely. So it is important who they hang out with. And we don't want, it's hoping against all hope and thinking against what the Bible says to think our kids are going out with a group of people, you know, that are involved in all kinds of evil, but our kids may have a good influence on them. It's them being influenced by others. Because it's a lot easier for them to pull the kid down than for us to pull them up. And so it is important who our friends are. So we understand. First principle, it's important who our friends are, and we should not be friends with evildoers, people that are bent on doing evil, people that are fools, right? With the wicked, with cursing, with angry people. We are to avoid those things. Let's go on. So we understand first who we should not be friends with. Now let's look at some things that can ruin friendships. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Some things that can ruin friendships. And we know there's a friend that sticks closer to their brother. It's important to have friends. These are some things that can ruin some good friendships. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man, an evil man, a man that's bent on destruction. A froward man soweth strife. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. So these are friends that are chief friends. They're like best friends. But a whisperer can separate those friends. Now what's a whisperer? Somebody that's, you know, gossip. Somebody speaking behind the back. If we have something that's holy, that's, you know, that's pure to say, we don't have to whisper. We're whispering because we don't want somebody else to hear. We're doing something wrong. A whisperer can separate best friends, chief friends. Look at 17 verse 9. Kind of the same thing, but a little different. Proverbs 17 verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. So that's forgiving somebody. You can overlook and cover a transgression to somebody else against you. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So a whisperer can separate friends. A repeater. Somebody, that's gossip again, isn't it? You hear it, you don't have to repeat it. But somebody's repeating these matters. And it separates very friends. Good friends. So there are things that can ruin friendships. And the Bible says in Proverbs that gossip, tale-bearing is one of the main things. So let's just look at some verses I'm going to read to you. The Bible talks about whispering. David said, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. So David knew there was whispering people that are, you know, talking behind his back, devising things. Why he's king, remember his son Absalom? He was rebelling, he was, you know, undercutting him, why David was king. Absalom was sitting in the gate, and so you could, all this secret stuff going on, separating father and son now. But it was those that hate David, they whisper. The Bible says in Romans 1:29 that when we are without God, we are filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. In our flesh, when we're not walking in the Spirit, we are whisperers, gossipers. Right? It's the same as backbiting. It's also another word for it is talebearers. In Leviticus, God says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Somebody that repeats the matter and keeps it going, right? Did you hear so-and-so did this? And I can't believe they went bankrupt. Did you hear that? I mean, we can say these things. The talebearer. It's not telling the news because it's good news or it's something they would want to say. It's something you wouldn't say if they were standing there. It's probably talebearing. It's probably whispering. If you wouldn't say them with them standing right there, it's probably backbiting. The Bible says, let's look at Proverbs 11. Let's look at some talebearing things in Proverbs. Taking a little break here, but a talebearer or a whisperer or somebody that repeats a matter can separate friends. And so we want to make sure we're not doing this, being the enemy of godly friendships, breaking up things, being a whisperer or a talebearer. Proverbs 11, verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. How many times do you, somebody tells you, don't tell anybody, but I just want to tell you this. And so you go to the next person and say, don't tell anybody, but I'm not supposed to tell anybody, but I'll tell you. And they do that. A talebearer reveals secrets. We don't want to be that. We want to be able, people can trust us. We're not going to talk unless they want us to talk. A talebearer reveals secrets. We should not be revealing secrets. Let's go to Proverbs 18. So to be a good friend, we don't want to be a talebearer or a whisperer or a backbiter or a busybody, the Bible even calls it. Proverbs 18, verse 8, says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They hurt. They're wounds. The words hurt. We think words don't hurt. Words can hurt. Okay, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So we want to make sure that we're not hurting people with our words as a talebearer. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goeth about, Proverbs 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. There that is again. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. So somebody wants to flatter you by saying, you know, it makes you feel good if somebody's willing to tell you a secret. You're like, I must be pretty important because Dave will share that with me. I don't know. He's not sharing it with anybody else. But unbeknownst to me, Dave's telling everybody, isn't he? Because he likes it. But it flatters you when somebody tells you a tale. If somebody thinks enough of you to tell you this secret and this gossip, do not have part in that. He that goeth about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. That's a form of flattery. We should not meddle with it. If somebody starts doing that, the Bible says an angry countenance drives this away. Proverbs 25:23. Let's go there real quick. Proverbs 25:23 tells us how we can get rid of people that want to reveal secrets to us, people that want to gossip to us. Things that ruin friendships, make us a bad friend. Proverbs 25:23 says, the north wind driveth away rain. Which way is the wind out of tonight? South, that's good, see? It's not driving away rain. It's driving us rain. Coming here. So 25:23 says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. And so just from the look on your face, you can drive away somebody that's coming to you with gossip, with words that are biting somebody else in the back. They can see, you know, you're not going to listen. You don't want anything to do with it. Or they can tell if, oh, you know, they like this. So it's in our countenance. It's in our look, our body language, our words. But we can be known as somebody, they're not going to come with these words to us. It's not fun to come with gossip, and they don't want to hear it. It makes you feel bad because it's convicting. And so we ourselves can do something about it with an angry countenance. If we can look angry, we don't want to hear this gossip, this talebearing, this backbiting, because that separates even chief friends. It's not good. If it's good to say, then it should be said with everybody there. It should be said with the friend there. Let's go back to the last one here, Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, we're about right there, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. A talebearer. Is that not true? I mean, between two people, me and John could have had a disagreement, and we get it worked out. But then Rich could be a talebearer and say, well, John was saying here and getting it going again, getting the fire going again, separating very chief friends because of a talebearer that likes to separate friends, that likes to see strife. So if Rich does that, I just got to give him an angry countenance, and so he knows not to come to me. Right? So we see what the Bible says about talebearing, about gossip, backbiting, whispering. This can ruin friendships. It makes you a terrible friend. It's a sin. And so we as Christians need to do away with it. We need to mortify it, as we said this morning. So, if we listen to these things, that's a sin. If we do it, it's a sin. Cease immediately and let others know that we will have nothing to do with this wickedness. So strong friendships, point number two here, strong friendships can be broken by gossip. You're not a good friend when you're gossiping about somebody. Okay? Let's go to the third thing, how to be a true friend. Let's look at what you should do to be a good friend and how you know if somebody's a good friend for you as well. But most importantly, how you can be a good friend to others. Proverbs 18:24 is where we started. Let's go back there. Just thinking about listening to talebearers and listening to things, how much in our flesh is that to want to hear stuff about other people? And somebody's saying that and to be godlike, to be godly in those situations is tough. We have to purposely know what the Bible says and hide God's word in our heart, and that a light goes off. If that's a tale, that's backbiting, that's whispering. We have to purposely do this. And could that cost us some friends with some people? Yeah. But who is that friend that's telling tales and doing those things? As we're going to see, if it is a friend, it's a Christian friend, we should talk to him about it. If Dave's doing that, I say, Dave, I should have the guts as a friend and as a Christian say, that's wrong. Let's talk about something pure. Don't talk about others. And if he gets upset by that, you have to take that risk. And that's not a friendship God wants you to have. So this is something we could apply, in all kinds of family dinner situations, all kinds of things. We get people together not listening to tales, not being an ear for those things. Let's look at how to be a true friend, a good friend. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So we must be friendly to be a good friend. We'll look at some of those things, how to be friendly. But also, we need to stick close to a friend. Go to Proverbs 17:17. Proverbs 17:17 tells us more about being a good friend. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So a friend loves. It's a love of action. You're willing to help. You're there for your friend at all times. Even a brother, the Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but even a brother is there in times of adversity. A brother is born for adversity. So as a friend, we should be there in times of need. We should be there in times of adversity. Let's go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22:11. Proverbs 22:11 says, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. So a person that loves pureness of heart, a person, this is who we want to be, that strives and loves and seeks after being pure of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those. We should be wanting to be pure in heart. Not being a friend for what it's going to gain us. We're being a friend simply for being able to love them in times of adversity, to be a good, godly friend. So the person that is pure of heart, he loves pureness of heart. For the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. A person that loves pureness of heart, his lips are going to be gracious. Her lips are going to be gracious. And when somebody has gracious words, their words are always with grace, seasoned with salt. Their truth and their love, when somebody's pure in their heart, seeking pureness in their heart, and they speak gracious words, even a king wants to be a friend with that man. The king shall be his friend. People are going to search you out to be a friend if you're pure in heart and you're gracious with your words. So we should seek purity in friendship, not for what it gets us, not for trying to manipulate and flatter and do something for what gets us, but to be a pure friend and have gracious words. That's how to be a good friend. Let's go to Proverbs 27. We want to be close. We want to stick close in adversity. We want to be pure in heart. We want to say gracious words. These are things, as a Christian, I mean, seems familiar, doesn't it? These are things we're told to do over and over and over again. We need to be reminded over and over again. Because it's so easy to slip back and say things we should not say. Proverbs 27, verse 5. We'll do 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So an enemy can pretend to like you. Here it says the kisses of an enemy. I mean, this enemy is really acting like they like you. I never had anybody come up and kiss me like that. You know? But I mean, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So an enemy can flatter you, can pretend to like you, all the while planning to stab you in the back. Right? But a friend, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Open rebuke is better than secret love. It's good. Open rebuke. It's good for a friend to even hurt you sometimes. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So a friend should openly, with gracious words, tell the truth and rebuke us in areas that need to be rebuked. Open rebuke, not rebuke. And if John's doing something wrong, I go to Jeremy and say, John really is sinning. I can't believe what he's doing. I should go to John. An open rebuke. It's not backbiting. He's a brother. He's a friend. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, does it? I mean, we might hurt somebody else. I might hurt Larry when I say something. But if it's true, and I'm saying it with pureness of heart, I'm saying it with gracious words, I'm saying it because I love him as a friend, and it might destroy our relationship. If he takes it wrong, if he doesn't, you know, deal with it the way a Christian should, it could break our relationship. But as a true friend, we have to be willing to rebuke when we see things in others. And we don't just say, man, can you believe Debbie? I can't believe she's doing such and such. If you're a friend, you go and speak openly to Debbie. And it may hurt Debbie. It may wound her. It may be the end of your friendship, but a faithful friend will speak the truth in love. So, if we have a friend that rebukes us, you know, somebody that I know, they're a friend, but all of a sudden they're saying, Lee, I think you're doing this and this, and I think it's wrong. Something, you know, a rebuke. We better examine carefully what that friend says. I mean, that's so easy to just get a wall built up and get our pride built up and say, what, how can he dare say this about me? But an enemy would be nice to our face, whispering behind our back. If somebody has the guts to come up and you tell you in gracious words, you know they're your friend, they're not saying it in hate, they're not yelling, you know, that's a rebuke we better listen to because that's a faithful friend. That friend, I mean, it's taking some guts for them to do it because it's a lot better not to say anything. It's a lot better to whisper behind the back. So if a friend comes up to us and they rebuke us, that's one that we had better pay attention to. Carefully weigh what they say. It doesn't mean they're always right, but we carefully weigh what they say. Don't allow your emotions, your pride to rule your actions. So as a friend, we should be willing to openly rebuke, to go to them in love with gracious words, because we're not trying to get anything for ourselves. It's pureness of heart. And as a friend, if we have a friend do that to us, pay attention to it. Don't get your pride hurt because of that. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So friends should give counsel. Friends should be there to give counsel. We should give counsel when asked as a friend. And we should give true counsel. They ask us, we should give true counsel, not tickling the ears. Because it might be something they don't want to hear. Did Paul do that? He wrote a letter in the 2 Corinthians. He said, I was sorry that I wrote this, but now I see what change it made in you, and so I'm glad I wrote it. But he told the truth, and we need to tell the truth. We never lie. We tell the truth in love with gracious words, seasoned with salt. But if we're asked for our opinion, we're asked for our counsel, as a friend, we do it. And we should ask our friends for counsel. If we have wise friends, as we should hang around the wise. We have wise, godly friends. It's wise on our part to seek their counsel. All right, so friends should give counsel. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You can strike iron on iron. You can sharpen that blade Okay, that's the way we should sharpen our friends. This will happen if we're able to talk as friends and openly rebuke, able to openly counsel, and we can take counsel, we can take rebuke, and we can talk about these things. We can make each other better in all areas of our life. We can sharpen each other. We shouldn't be flattering each other. We shouldn't be just saying things that aren't true, saying things for another motive. We as friends, as a good friend, should sharpen our friends. We make each other better in all areas, spiritually, you know, emotionally, all kinds of areas. We should make each other better and push each other. Iron sharpens iron. And friends should not flatter. I'm going to go in a little bit here on, we've talked about friends, you know, speaking open rebuke, counseling, speaking in love, being honest, all these things. We should not be flatterers. We shouldn't flatter other people. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 14. This is an interesting one. Proverbs 27, verse 14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it should be counted a curse to him. So first I just think of, you know, a guy wants his sleep and some friend's coming and yelling. Even if it's blessing him, the guy's going to be upset for getting woke up. But I think it's more than that as well. He's blessing this friend with a loud voice early in the morning. It's strange. It's conspicuous in the volume of it. Why is he blessing and saying these things in such a loud voice? It's almost like it's done for show. It's strange in the timing of it, early in the morning. So I believe that this is an insincere form of flattery. It's a curse because this friend is so conspicuous, so at the time doing it. I mean, he doesn't really care that much about his friend, but he's you know, making this blessing so loud. Okay, so a flattering friend can be a curse. He's really no friend at all. And flattery is wrong. And we should stop from flattering. We should watch for people that flatter us. Flattery would be insincere praise. Let's go to Proverbs 29, verse 5. Things not to do now as a friend. Things to watch out for. Proverbs 29, verse 5. It says, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. So he's making a trap for him. It's a snare to somebody if we flatter our neighbor. So we shouldn't flatter, and if we should watch out for flattery that's being set for us, a trap that's being set. Flattery would be saying something insincere. They don't mean it. Maybe it's not true, but it's done for somehow for their own means. They want to, you know, flatter you because you're the boss and you can get a raise. Somehow they're manipulating for their own good. They're not pure in heart. Like, that's not a flattery. So flattery is a trap. Proverbs 27:21. Proverbs 27:21, how flattery we need to watch out for. Proverbs 27:21 says, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold. It refines it, right? You put that in there, the gold comes out clean, but it's through fire. There's things burnt off. It's a refining process. It says here, so is a man to his praise. If we get praised, that's a fiery trial. It's a test for our soul. It can easily feed our fleshly pride. So it can bring destruction because pride goeth before destruction. So praise and flattery is a test. And some people will flatter. Satan will, you know, work on those people to flatter you, to build you up, and so you will fall because pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So this flattery, if we listen to it, if we internalize it, if we say, yeah, I am pretty good. Yeah, he's right. That can bring a snare. It can be a net laid for us. And so you can see why the enemy would want to use flattery. Proverbs 27, verse 6. We've seen it before, but it says, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's flattery. Okay, they're really your enemy, but they're giving you insincere praise. They're acting like you're the greatest. But really, they're your enemy. They're laying a trap for you. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 24. Looking at flattery. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. Proverbs 26, verse 24. So he's tearing apart with his mouth. He hates things and he's tearing things down with his mouth. And he lays up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. He's speaking these great swelling words. He's sounding all great. He's saying great things. It says, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So we see the kind of guy that says he hates by dissembling with his mouth. He's tearing people down with his mouth, but he does it through flattery. and this flattering mouth worketh ruin. So we need to watch out for people that flatter. We can see it. I've seen it a lot with, you know, people in my own family, that I can hear them talk negative about somebody, but then that person shows up and they're just their biggest fan. And how did that happen? You know, but so you know it's just flattery. It's insincere praise. Now, if we see that, it's kind of pretty prideful to think that's not also happening when they're talking with us. Right? So we need to watch out for people we know flatter. We can see flattery. If we see it in ourselves, we get rid of it. We don't want to be a flatterer. We don't want to set traps for other people. Just by building them up, it could be a pride leading to destruction for them. So we want to speak the truth. We want to speak it in love. We want to do it with pureness of heart, not ever insincerely. The Bible, we talked about a strange woman many weeks ago, but she was a flatterer. The strange woman, you watch out for her, she would flatter the young man to get him to fall into sin. And so we know that a flatterer is not a true friend. A flatterer speaks the truth. And so we see that as a friend, we're going to open rebuke. We're going to give counsel. We're going to stick with them when the going gets tough. We are going to also, what was that one? We won't whisper. We won't backbite. We're going to be pure. We're going to be gracious with our words so we can see what we would be as a true friend. Also, let's go to Proverbs 19, verse 6. Proverbs 19, verse 6. We don't want to flatter. We want to stay away from people that flatter. Watch out. That's a snare for us if we start believing these things. Proverbs 19, verse 6. It says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Just looking through friendship and looking at this thing, every man's a friend to him that gives gifts. Okay? People like somebody that gives gifts. This could be good or bad. It could be gifts given for good, but the point of this is gifts work. As a friend, we can give gifts. That's a way of showing ourselves friendly. So a friend will give to his friends. We should be ready to give to anybody, but as a Christian, we know, you know, this stuff on earth is going to pass through our fingers. We're not setting our affection on things on the earth, but things above. So we ought to be giving people, we ought to be gift-giving people to friends to show ourselves friendly. But gifts can work both ways. They can work for evil if somebody wants to, you know, manipulate people, but they can also work for good if we do them out of a pure heart simply because we want to show love and friendship to somebody else. An insincere gift would be just like an insincere compliment. It'd be flattering. But real gifts can show ourselves friendly. And so let's look at giving a gift because the Bible talks a lot about it. I was shocked when I went through Proverbs. I was making all my lists of different categories, and there was a lot on gifts because it must be important, and there's a lot to giving of gifts. So here we say in Proverbs 19:6, every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. So if we want to show ourselves friendly, we can give gifts. Right? We move to a town and everybody's just, this town isn't friendly. But we're sitting in our house all the time. We can go. We don't have to wait for the welcoming party to come to us. We can go welcome somebody else. We can show ourselves friendly. And one of that ways is by giving of gifts. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 16. Proverbs 18, 16. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before a great man. So gifts work. Here, gifts work to give opportunities. You know, to get, here it says in front of great men. It makes room for you. Gifts work. I think that's what the Bible says. Proverbs 17, verse 8. Proverbs 17, verse 8. It says, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. If you're a guy that has a gift and you're giving that, wherever you give that gift, it prospers. Proverbs 17, verse 8. So gifts work. We do them with a sincere heart, with a pure heart. We're doing them as a friend. We're doing it for the glory of God. Gifts work. Philip of Macedonia. This guy was Alexander the Great's dad. So it's not biblical. Don't take this anywhere. Okay, but this is what he said. He said, there's no fortress so strong but that it might be taken if a donkey laden with gold was brought to the gate. I mean, a donkey with gold, it doesn't matter. They're going to open up the gate to get that gold. Which is kind of what the Bible's saying here, that it makes room for you, a gift. Okay? Gifts work. It can be used for evil. Let's go to Proverbs 17, verse 23. This is going to get kind of off our subject of friendship, but we're on the subject of gifts. And so let's look at this. Proverbs 17, verse 23 says, a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. So a wicked man will pay off somebody. He'll take a gift out, show some money, to the judge to pervert the ways of judgment. That's wicked, to buy off a judgment. To buy off justice is wicked, but a gift can do that. We know that happens. Judges, cops, people can be bought off, but that's wicked to do. Proverbs 19, verse 6. We've seen this. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts, just showing that gifts work. Let's go to Proverbs 21, verse 14. Proverbs 21, verse 14, looking at giving gifts. Proverbs 21, 14 says, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. So, a reward or a gift can pacify anger and even strong wrath. We know Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So, somebody's angry, we have ways here. Here it says, a gift in secret pacifieth anger. And again, this has to be a gift. God can see your heart on it. But showing that you love them, even though there may be something between them, maybe it's just on this person's side, you give a gift, show them, that can pacify their anger. Gifts work. Proverbs 25, verse 14, that's the main thing I see here, is that gift giving works, and it can work for good or bad, but God says it works. Proverbs 25, verse 14, something not to do. This would be bad. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and winds without rain. You get all excited with the clouds and the winds like it is right now. Dale, are you excited? You think it's going to rain? You think so, right? Larry's excited. He thinks it's going to rain. Get a little rain before you plant. So, because you got clouds and wind, but if it comes, there's no rain. That's a big letdown. That would be the same as somebody who boasts of a false gift. Yeah, I'm going to get something for you. I'll get you that. Never happens, right? So we don't want to be boasting and saying we're going to give a gift. We don't have it. We don't intend to. You know, we want to follow through. As a friend, we do. But this just says, you know, basically fulfill what you say you're going to give. Don't promise things you're not going to do. Don't promise a gift and not deliver. Let's go to Proverbs 29, verse 4. Proverbs 29, 4, speaking of gifts, not necessarily friendship, but gifts right here. The king by judgment establisheth the land. So judgment, you know, he's judging right and wrong. A king can establish the land. A king's important for a nation. The government, the ruler's important for that nation. He can establish the land. But he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. So if your king or if your government is receiving gifts, what they're doing, instead of establishing the land, they're overthrowing it. So if our leaders, you know, accept favors, they accept vacations, they accept money from these political action committees, they accept these things, and that's how they make some decisions, the Bible says they're overthrowing the land. And so we need to elect people that are going to stand up and do what's right. But we know that a lot of times, you know, that happens. And if that's happening in our government, I mean, our nation's going to be overthrown. If they're doing their judgment, God says, by gifts that are given to them. If they're influenced by gifts, our land's going to be overthrown. So we see gifts can work for good or for evil. A friend should give gifts, and there's much power in a gift, but they must be given sincerely, not with a flattering purpose. And they can be given to show yourself friendly. A guy that gives gifts has plenty of friends. We should show ourselves friendly as Christians. So just looking at all this stuff together, we avoid evil friends. That's where we started. Right? We don't hang around with evil friends. We can show ourselves friendly to them. That's a big difference between being friendly and being their friend, being a good friend. We avoid evil friends. We want our children to avoid evil friends. We want to make sure they do that. We know that strong friendships can even be broken by gossip, by talebearing, by whispering. We don't want to be that person that talebears and whispers. We know an angry countenance can drive away that whisperer, that backbiter. We don't want to let that come between friends. What we do if we hear something like that is we can go to that person straight up. A Christian way of dealing with things is straight up and open, not behind the back. Go straight up and open, and we can deal with these things if we want to keep friends. A friend doesn't flatter. Giving gifts is a good way to show yourself friendly. And then finally, some of these things we saw about a friend. A friend sticks close by even through adversity. A friend is pure in motive, pure in heart. A friend is gracious with words. We talked about our speech and the way we got to think about what we say. We're going to be gracious with our words. Ask God for help in being gracious with our words. A friend rebukes openly. Doesn't speak behind somebody else's back. And that's where a Christian friend is going to be different than the world. A Christian friend is going to rebuke openly. A Christian friend is going to give counsel. And a Christian friend is going to sharpen each other. Friends will sharpen each other, make each other better. So that's why, you know, the Bible can say that don't forsake assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is in Hebrews. Even more, as we see that we should come together as Christians. We should be friends as Christians so we can help and strengthen and rebuke and counsel and sharpen each other. And so the goal here is for us is to be a good friend. If we have ungodly friendships, you know, if we start being a good friend there, they'll probably kick you out of the group. You know, if you start standing up for what's right. And I mean, you can use your own judgment there. If it's going to make you a jerk to do it, just remove yourself from the group. Right? But we need to look for friends that meet the criteria that the Bible says. We need to be a friend, most importantly, that meets this criteria. Yeah, I think if we would follow the things that the Bible says, you know, we always think that, you know, because I stand for Christ, you know, people just, they don't like to be around me. I think if we would follow this, there'd be a lot more people want to be around us, even with our strong Christian testimony. If we are being pure in heart, we're being gracious with our words, we're not speaking behind people's back, they know they can trust us, we're there through thick and thin. I mean, I think a lot more people would even come. You talk about friendship evangelism. You know, I mean, I don't think we have to speak the gospel, and I think we could speak the gospel, and people would even come and listen to that more if we're being the type of person we need to be as Christians. And I think all of us can look at ourselves and say, I've done some whispering, some backbiting. I've listened to whispering. I've done these things. We can all improve on this and be a good friend. We do this to be a good friend. We do it to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. And it's to Him that the glory should go to. It's to Him be the glory forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to be able to look at these things and to meditate on these things, to think on these things, and to change the way we live. To not just be a hearer of the word, but doers also. To hear these things and have it make a difference in our lives. The conversations we have on the phone, that we have with our family, that we have with our friends. Help us to be a good friend. Help us to be a strong Christian testimony. And Lord, we know this is a tall order. We're going to fail. We're going to fall. But Lord, help us to see this and to repent of that and to turn back and to strive to be as much like You as we can. To be as much like Your Son as we can possibly be. Help us and give us the strength to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.